But the reason I focused out of the page from the Medrash, the Medrash is found at the very end of Parsha Tetzaveh. Pay close attention. Since you were learning already a little bit this week's Parsha, and you learned that the Kohen Gadol would wear on the breastplate, the Kohen Gadol would wear different stones for the different Shvatim, for the different tribes. Now, you have to be mamish an expert, a tremendous expert, obviously, in stones to understand the distinction between one and the other. And there are different Mepharshim. Different Mepharshim have different interpretations of what exactly the stones were. Most of the Mepharshim, however, follow the understanding of Chazal. The color of each stone is very significant, and why a particular Shevet, why a particular tribe was connected to that particular stone has to do with the nature of that Shevet, with the nature of that tribe. And those colors have to do with that, the different colors have to do with the particular tribes. In the Pardes Rimonim of the Ramak, one of the great Kabbalists from the Ramak, has a whole section, Shar HaGavonim, the deeper meaning of each color. Every single color that exists in the world is connected to an emotion, is connected to a sphere, to the higher realm of how Hashem runs the world. In order for us to understand how is it that each particular Shevet, each particular tribe, was connected to a particular stone, we have to begin by reading the Medrash together. And then afterwards we'll learn the piece in the Me'a Shiloach, so we can understand a little bit what's the connection between that Shevet, that tribe, and that particular gem and that stone. This is an amazing Inyan. An amazing Inyan. So let's read the Medrash. It's the very end, the Medrash at the very end of Tetzaveh. It's the last Medrash in Tetzaveh, what I gave you, what I photostated, from the Medrash Rabbah. It says in the Pasuk, Gumilesa bo miluas evan. Right? So it would be filled with the stones, with the special stones, with the special gems. Umilesa bo miluas evan. Now the names are hard. So you'll see on the bottom I wrote down in English the name of that particular stone. You know that it was divided into Arba Turim, into four different what? Rows. Four different rows. Each had three stones, which corresponded to three Shvatim. All together, the 12 Shvatim.
What are the three Shvatim?
We're going to learn. So, Ketzad Hayu Nesunim. So the Medrash says, Ketzad Hayu Nesunim. How were the stones placed? What was the order? So the first series, the first tour, the first row, the Medrash says, Odem Pitada Uvarekes. If you look on the bottom I wrote in, Odem is called, again, I don't know all of these, what they are, Lamaisa, to see. Odem is carnelian, which is a deep orange and red quartz. A deep orange and red quartz. That's the Odem. The next one is Pitada. Pitada is an emerald. Uvarekes. Varekes is topaz. Okay. That's the first series. So look back on the Medrash on top. Al Odem Hayakosuv Avim Yitzchak V'Yaakov Ruvain. On the Odem, on that first one, on the carnelian, if that's how it's even pronounced, I mean, I saw the translation of Rabbi Kaplan, what the Odem is. On that first stone, the Odem was written Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and Reuven. The others had to be included. So Reuven is written on the first stone. Al Pitada, on the second stone, on the emerald, Hayakosuv Shimon. Shimon is written on the second, on the emerald. Al Barakas, on the topaz, Hayakosuv Levi. That's the first row. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Odem Pitad of Arekis. Vahatur Hasheni, the second row. Nofech, Sapir Vayahalom. Nofech is called a carbuncle. Again, I'm not sure if that's even how it's pronounced. which the Mefarshim explained is a mixture of different colors, sky blue, a black and white. Sky blue, it's a stone that is sky blue, black and white. So this is called Nofech. Then there's Sapir, which is a sapphire. Sapphire is completely translucent and clear, clear stone. The Yahalom, is a bit of a question. There's some that say that it means a diamond, but Chazal, most of the Farshim learned that Yahalom is called a beryl, which is a bluish-green stone. So the Medrash says, Al Nofech, on the first stone in that carbuncle, Hayakosuv Yehuda. Al Sapir, on the sapphire, Kosuv Yisachar. Al Yahalom, on that beryl stone, Al Yahalom, Hayakosuv Zvulim. That's the second row. Batur Ashlishi, the third row, the three stones were Leshem, Shvo, Vachloma. The Leshem is jacinth, which is bright orange. The Shvo is agate or agate, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, that's gray. And the Achloma was amethyst, which is violet or purple. So on the Achloma, on the Leshem, the Medrash says, Hayakosuv Dan, the tribe of Dan. Al Shvo Hayakosuv Naphtali. On the Shvo was written Naphtali. And Al Achloma, on the amethyst, was written God. Batur HaRevi, the final row. Tarshish V'Shoham V'Yoshvei. Tarshish is chrysolite, which is the color of pure olive oil. It's a stone that's the color of pure olive oil. It was written Asher. Shoham is onyx. Onyx is black. That's pretty common. Onyx is black, dark black stone. The Yashvei is jasper, which has in it all different colors. Jasper, which is all, that's Yashvei. So the Medrash says, Al Tashish HaYikosuf Asher, on the chrysolite was written Shevet Asher, on Shoham was written Yosef, on the onyx was Yosef, and on Yashvei HaYikosuf Binyamin, Shivta Yeshurun, these are the tribes of the Jewish people. That's the Medrash. So we have to keep that to refer back to the stones.
Written on the stone?
Yes.
And the apple also, right?
Huh?
And the apple?
The others were written on the first one. I mean, I think we should go ahead with it before we try to understand it. Let's learn the piece, no? I mean, unless it's just is there a question about the particular...
sapphires are not clear.
That's not true. There are different types of sapphires. There's not only one kind of sapphire. This particular sapphire had to be one that was translucent, that was clear. There are different types. If you ask somebody that knows stones, they'll tell you that there are different types.
Engraved.
Okay. Let's read now the Me'er Shiloach. Let's learn the piece from the Me'er Shiloach. U'meleisa bo miluas evan. Ar beturim to oidem v'chulu. Now the Ishbitza goes to each one. Now I want you to understand, look, for each single piece here you could talk for a couple of years. Because to understand the nature of that stone, with that particular, and the relationship between that stone and that color and that shevet, obviously you have to discuss the whole shevet. And the Shevet is something which can be discussed for years and years. What's the Inyan of Reuven? What's the nature of Reuven? What's the nature of Shimon? And so on. So all we're going to do today is, from the Ishbitza, to touch upon a little bit and to see the relationship, the connection between that particular Shevet and that particular stone and its color. When it's understandable. And there's some things here that are very, very hard. You'll see those things that are hard. So we'll try to get the most we can. So the Rebbe Mark Yosef explains Odem. Now, Odom was the first one. You should always refer back to the thing there. That's the carnelian, which is Reuven, which is deep orange-red type of a quartz. A deep red quartz. So what's the Odom? What's the connection between the Odom and Reuven? So Odom, who neged shevet Reuven. Ki Odom, who goven simcha. We find in Chazal, and the Kisvei Ha'ari, in the writings of the Ha'ari, that red has in it red, the color red is the quality of gvura, of din, of gvura, means the color of blood, right? It's the color of, the redness always means blood, gvura. And it's also the inyan of simcha. Now, this is explained at length in the writings of the Tzemach Tzedek, what's the relationship, like Shevet Levi is also, Levi is the inyan of din, and Davka Levi, the ones that were singing in the Beis HaMikdash, right, which is the Inyan of Simcha, to awaken the soul. The point is that redness means heartfulness. Heartfulness. To be Leibedik, you understand? To be filled with heart. The redness of the blood means strong, very, very strong emotion. And here we see in the Svar Makadoshim that redness is connected to the Midah of Simcha, of joy. Veruvein Nikra al Shem Re'iya. Now we know that Reuven's name comes from the word seeing, Re'iya. Ra'a Hashem, Le'imenu said, Hashem has seen my oppression, right? Hashem has seen my suffering. So the name Reuven means seeing, right? Seeing, Re'iya, to see. So what does it have to do with Simcha? So the Rebbe explains, Re'iya ki b'chol inyonavu dvarav ro'et tamid nichecho es Hashem. The greatest joy that a person can have in this world is that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what happens to you, you see all the time Hashem before you. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid. The key to a person's happiness, no matter what a person goes through, if a person is always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what happens, the tov or the ra, whether it's something which is good or chalila, something which is not good, a person who lives in that continuous state of Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Yisomad, who lives in the presence of Hashem Mamish, every second feels Hashem there, and knows that what Hashem is working out with you in your life has to do with you specifically, and it's for your good. So that person who is able to see Hashem at all times, that person experiences Simcha always. Experiences Simcha always. Ki b'chol inyan v'dvar v'ra tamid nichos Hashem v'Hashem is baruch meir einav. And Hashem, a person who is always aware of Hashem and is always trying to think of what of Hashem's presence and believing that what Hashem is doing is for the best at this time in my life, that person's eyes are illuminated by Hashem. Hashem helps that person. If the person is trying to see Him, Hashem helps that person find the truth. And from here a person can draw tremendous joy. Kamashakosov, as it says, Meir Einayim Yismach Leiv. It says in the Pasuk that when a person's eyes are lit up, that causes the heart to rejoice. So because Reuven is the person whose eyes are lit up, because his name means to see, and seeing here doesn't just not mean to see the world, it means to see Hashem in all things. So the person who sees Hashem every moment of his life and is connected to that, so that's what the Pasuk says, Meir Einayim Yismach Leiv, Meir Einayim, the light of a person's eyes, causes the person to feel Simcha in the heart. Because all of our aggravation, all of our anguish comes because we can't figure out why is this happening, what's going on, what is this, this is not fair, this is not right. But when a person is on the Madrega, when a person is connected to Reuven, to the world of seeing Hashem, then it's Meir Einayim, it's Meir Einayim. It causes the eyes to be lit up. I mean, Meila, the result of that is Yismach Leiv, the heart rejoices. So that's the stone, that's the Odem, that's the red stone of Shevet Reuven, the Simcha of seeing Hashem. That's Reuven. Next. Pitadok. Pitada, which is an emerald, who neged Shevet Shimon. The Pitada is connected to the tribe of Shimon.
What color is it?
It's not clear.
Green.
Let's see. Pitada is the tribe of Shimon. Usually it's green. Ki b'Shevet Shimon nimtza amkus godol b'divrei Torah. Shimon means, of course, to hear, to listen. In the writings of the Ishbitzer, and then later in the writings of his student, the Kohen from Lublin, Shimon is revealed to be from the deepest depths of reality. Shimon is from Leah. All the children of Leah come from the concealed world, since Leah Imenu is from the world of concealment. Leah is the Alma Diskasia. Leah is the world of concealment, as we've spoken about in Bereishis. Rachel is the revealed world of beauty. Leah is the concealed world, the inner world, is Leah, more hidden. Shimon means to see, to hear. Shimon means to listen, to hear. And the Rebbe says that in Shimon there are deep, deep divrei Torah. Shimon, that in the writings of the Ishbosheth, that means that when you look at Shimon on the surface, you can't understand him. When you see Shimon on the surface, he will generally appear to you to be the opposite of what's really happening inside. That's the way of Shimon. You have to listen carefully to you know, understand. Seeing something, you see right away. You see it, it hits you, right? Hearing something, you know what it means. To hear it means you have to, don't be misled by what you see with your eyes. What? Listen. Don't be misled. When you look at Shimon in the Torah, it doesn't come across so beautifully. Right? I mean, everybody likes the fact that he goes and wipes out Shechem, hooray, because we like, you know, the violence, and we like, you know, we're all, we've grown up here in America with the movies, you know, and Rambo and all these guys. So we think Chalila, that Shimon is, oh, Shimon's a tough guy, God forbid. So we appreciate that as people who love violence. But on the surface, you think Shimon, you see, is like this person who just goes to kill, and Shimon is in the conspiracy to destroy Yosef. Shimon, Yaakov is upset with Shimon. Shimon of Levi Achim. He says Shimon has deep, deep divrei Torah. Very deep. And this, by the way, later on in Tanakh also, problems with Shevet Shimon, difficulties with Shevet Shimon. He says Shimon has deep divrei Torah. Ach b'term she'otziu osa l'paral yitztarku l'biruim. But Shimon has to go through many, many, many levels of refinement. In other words, there are deep divrei Torah, just like inside every one of you. There are deep, deep divrei Torah, deep words and teachings and feelings of Torah. But each one of you and myself, we have to go through different types of refinement. What does that mean? Hashem brings us to that place. Through what? Through tests and through suffering, God forbid, and through all kinds of weird things that we all go through. So Shimon's divrei Torah, the holiness that's in Shimon is buried deep within him. And he has to go through many refinements. V'chein Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Look on the next column on top. V'chein Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Ki hayim yishevet Shimon. According to the Chachmei Hamas, the Masters of Truth, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai came from Shevet. His soul is from Shevet Shimon. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is from Shimon. Ki yadua hayibot divrei Torah amukim kamo Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom. And who could even say amok amok? The depths of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai had to go through in the difficult years that he spent in exile, hidden from the world, right in the cave, having to run away from the Romans who were trying to kill him. So Rabbi Shimon was able to reveal in that place at that time, that terrible time of his life, that Rabbi Shimon was able to reveal the teachings of what? Avud Sefer, the Sefer HaZohar, the Zohar HaKadosh, that Rabbi Shimon revealed. Rabbi Shimon comes from Shimon. Shimon is divrei Torah, amukim amukim, very deep divrei Torah, very deep holiness. But it has to be that the outer layers have to be cut away and sliced and polished until it comes to the essence of Shimon. And this is hinted at in this stone that's called the pitada, this emerald, kihu oisius, because the letters of the word pitada, the letters are peh, the pay and the hay, and then tes and tough, right? And dalit. Pay, tes, I'm sorry, not tes, tough. Pay, tes, and dalit, I'm sorry. Pay, tes, first is the pay and the hay, then you have a tes and you have a dalit, pitada, right? Those are the four letters. Pay, and then a tes, and a dalit. Right? What does that mean? So he says, listen to this. He says, what is pei hei spelled? Peh. What does peh mean? Mouth. It means mouth. It means to say something. Pei hei means the mouth. Tes and dal, the Rebbe says, hema osios hakodmim l'shem yud kei. The letters that come before the yud hei, in the aleph beis, the letter before the yud is a tes, and the letter before a hei, is the dalet. Wait till you see this here. Hold on to your chairs. So he says, "Vizem mayra la'amkus ha'chachma shenimsa v'zeh ha'shevet shlo yuchle la'hotzi la'havi Hashem l'peh." So the Ishbosheth says, you know, that the deepest, deepest world is called Yud-Heh. The first two letters of Hashem is named the Yud Hey. That's the world of Leia, the Amadiskasi, the concealed world. That's Yud Kei. The last two letters of Hashem's name are Vav Hey. Vav Hey already means the Amadiskasi, the revealed world. Hanistaris Lashem Elokeinu v'aniglos lonu levanenu ad olam. Hanistaris, the concealed letters, those are called Yud and Hey, are the concealed letters of Hashem's name, the first two letters. Those are Hanistaris Lashem Elokeinu, those are hidden to Hashem. The last two letters of Hashem's name, Vav Hey, the Vav is that letter that reaches, right? It reaches into this world, it's an extension. Like the letter Vav means, in Hebrew, the word Vav. What is a Vav in Hebrew? It means a hook. And the Vav is shaped like a hook. And the Vav acts like a hook, right? When you want to say two words, you put a Vav in between to hook them together. The word Vav means a hook. It says in last week's, a Vav im lamudim. A Vav is a hook. And shaped like a hook. And it holds things together. So the first two letters of Hashem's name, Yud and Hey, are from the Amadiskasi, deep and concealed. The Vav Hey is Hashem hooking, connecting and reaching to this world. That's already the Amadiskasi, that's already revealed, something revealed. So what's going on here by Shimon is that you have in the stone Pitada, you have a Pei. Pei means the mouth, Pei Hey. And then you have the two letters, you have the letters Tes and Dalet. Tes is the letter that comes before the Yud. Dalet is the letter that comes before the Hey. That means that they're unbelievable deep. They're very Torah that can't be spoken about, that are hidden in Shimon, that he can't bring to his mouth, he can't express. In other words, the letters that are even beneath the Yud and the Hey, before the Yud Hey, it comes from the very beginning of things. You understand? Yud and Hey are concealed letters of Hashem. Here in the stone, Pitada, there's the letter Pei, which means mouth, and Tes and Dalet. Tes is before Yud, earlier than Yud. And Dalet is the letter right before Hey. That means that that Shimon has within him Divrei Torah that are so deep, deep, deep beneath the Yud and Hey. From that which is called Chosim B'Toch Chosim, a seal within a seal, from the very beginning of things. And he can't talk about it. Nobody hears, you can't, when you meet him, you don't know. He doesn't sound like it. His mouth, he wants to speak of these things, but he can't. He has to go through different things to come to a point where he can actually, with his mouth, express the deeper longings that are hidden beneath his surface. Therefore, this stone is called, in Hebrew, it's called the Pitada. He doesn't discuss the color. 3. Berekis. Berekis is topaz. That's Shevet Levi. Berekis hila Shevet Levi. Ki berekis merames al yira. Because the word berekis means fear of God. Yira, awe. Overwhelming fear and awe. Miloshin Barak. Who knows what that means, Barak? Lightning. The word Barak means lightning. The stone, the topaz stone of Levi, means lightning. Barakis means a flash of light. That's a Barakis, a flash of light. So what does that have to do with Yira? So this is what she says, Miloshin Barak, Berek, Shemegala Oropis Om, where there's a sudden revelation of light, a sudden flash of light. Ubazah Shevet Nimsa Yirim of Ureris. This tribe, Levi, is a tribe that stands with a clear sense of fear and awe of Hashem's presence. Not talking about Simcha right now in Reuven. We're talking about an unbelievable Yiras Hashem that comes from the flash, from that is the terrifying flash of Hashem's presence that Levi feels. Do you understand? It's like a lightning bolt. A lightning bolt. Levi lives in the world. It's the same, you know, when you see lightning, it's scary. Now, most of us don't see Hashem in such a way. We see Hashem like a very faint little, like, you know, like those night lights that you have? Barely, right? A night light covered with a few covers, a little bit. So Mimela, we're not so afraid of him. A person walks in this world and you see Hashem who's barely, God forbid, like a nightlight. You can do a virus like that. You do it, it's all right. You believe in God? I believe in God. So if you believe in God, how come you mechal Shabbos? It's a good question. It's a good question. I guess I believe in him, but I'm still able to do the Aveira. How could that be? See, Levi does not see Hashem's presence like a little nightlight. Levi sees Hashem's presence like an unbelievable flash of lightning. You know, it's a scary thing when you see it, like the whole sky's lit up for a second, right? And then, whoa, it's gone. But the whole sky's lit. Levi is that flash. Lives with that, like that unbelievable, powerful barakas of God's presence, which causes him to retreat in awe and in fear. In awe and fear of Hashem. This is the tribe of Yiras Hashem. As Kamesha Kosev Aslam, Vatnam Li Moira. Hashem described the tribe of Levi as a people who are fearful of him. People who are fearful of God. Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Levi that ever was, right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the Levi of all Levi'im. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu's thing, the Gemara says by Moshe Rabbeinu that by him Yiras Hashem is a Milsa Zutra, so by him Yiras Hashem was, fear of God was the most basic definition of who Moshe Rabbeinu was, a complete fear of Hashem. He saw Hashem in such a way, like, in this way of a flash of lightning. You know, something that appears to you suddenly like lightning, it frightens you. Even if you'd walk into a room and it would have very, very, very bright light, as bright as a flash of lightning, if you get used to it after a while, you wouldn't be afraid, right? Or you wouldn't be taken aback. If you go into a place that's very bright, in the beginning it's hard, but then you get used to it. And you're no longer impressed by it, correct? But a flash of lightning is different, because whenever, it's never expected, you don't know what's going to be there, right? And then when it happens, it shakes you up. Levi always relates to Hashem in that way. Not like it's something which is old that you're not afraid of anymore, you're used to it. Yeah, Hashem, I know, all right. No, by Levi it's like a flash of, an explosion of lightning. That's how he lives with Hashem. Boom! It's not something he just gets used to and takes for granted. It's that undying flash of fear. That's Levi. Next, four. The fourth Shevet. Which means that we're on the next tour. That's already the next row. Yeah? Okay, so the next thing is Nofech. Nofech is that carbuncle which is sky blue, black, and white. It's a mixture of colors. Nofech hu neged Shevet Yehuda. Nofech, the Rebbe says, is Shevet Yehuda. Why? Ki be'evan ha-Nofech reifefim kol ha-gavonim. Because in this stone, all different colors were blended with air. V'nechlolimbo. V'chein hu Shevet Yehuda. This is the way of Yehuda. She'enu tamei b'midachas. The way of Yehuda is not to remain in one midah. Yehuda, he says, v'akesha oimed ben tzadikim gemurim hu tzadik gomur. When Yehuda is living with amongst great tzadikim, perfect tzadikim, then Yehuda is the tzaddik gomer. He will be the complete tzaddik. Uchisha oimed ben bali tshuva. When Yehuda stands among bali tshuva, the great one of the tribe of Yehuda, of course, is David HaMelech, right? We understand that a human being that combines in him the different colors, the different worlds of the tzaddik and the bali tshuva, that's David HaMelech, the black and the white. Yehuda, who is the king of the tribes. And nevertheless, everybody knows that he had this problem with Tamar, right? A problem. It's not God forbid like we have problems, you understand? It was a deep thing. And he had to confess, he had to admit in public, right? He had to admit in public. Yehuda has black and white and blue, but the meaning of it is that there's that Yehuda has within him the world of the tzaddik, and the world of the Balchuva rolled up into one. The world of the tzaddik means the ability to stay completely, completely away from things that are improper. The world of the Baal Teshuva means that despite his holiness, despite the greatness, if a failure takes place, when a failure takes place, Yehuda has the power to admit, to be moda, and to return. And the madrega, the maila, the advantage of a Baal Teshuva over the tzaddik gomer is that the Baal Teshuva has Well, Tshuva feels a sense of being taken away from Hashem and therefore is driven with a tremendous yearning to return, which the tzaddik can't have because the tzaddik never made the mistake. He didn't go away. So Yehuda has an different, the stone of Yehuda, the nofeich, has different colors, black and white. Black and white. Black is potential impurity, the Baal Tshuva emerging from blackness, and the whiteness of the tzaddik, the holiness of the tzaddik. And the sky blue, which of course is a siman, a symbol always of the throne of Hashem's glory, the Kisei HaKavod. So Yehuda attaches himself to the throne of glory through good days and through bad days. He attaches himself to the sky blue color of God's glory, of Hashem, of the throne of Hashem. When he's going through dark days, he can become a Baal Tshuva, and he is able to connect to the white, to the whiteness of the tzaddik gomor, the complete tzaddik. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Chazal say that if anybody says that David HaMelech sinned, they're making a mistake. If you say that David HaMelech sinned, you're making a mistake. Matzino nami shuhukam oyla shel tshuva. Shekim oyla shel tshuva, that means that really David HaMelech looks to us like he did an aveira. It looks to us like he made terrible mistakes. Chazal taught us that he did, whatever happened to him is a deep, mysterious thing, just like with Yehuda, in order to lift up, to raise the world of tshuva. In order to teach the world, to teach us, we're not allowed to do this. Things happen to Yehuda and to David that are not planned. To lift up the world of tshuva. You know that from what happened with Yehuda and Tamar, Mashiach comes from that, right? Because they had Peretz, and from Peretz comes out Boaz, and from Boaz marries Ruth, and from that comes eventually David and Malach, right? So David and Yehuda are people who are tzaddikim gemurim, that had to enter into the realm of darkness for whatever reason, to lift up the world of tshuva, to show the world, to bring out Hashem's greatness, Hashem's glory from the darkest places. Therefore Yehuda is the nofech, is the stone of different colors. We even see that David HaMelech sometimes describes himself in Tehillim. He describes himself as being poor and impoverished, meaning that he is a person of sin. That's what he meant. He didn't mean that he doesn't have money. David HaMelech was very wealthy, yeah. So he meant to say that he was poor in deeds, that he was poor in mitzvahs. And then there are other times that he calls himself Ki Chassid Ani. The Gemara in the beginning of Brachos discusses this contradiction. Sometimes he calls himself Ani Ve'Avion, the poor one, meaning in goodness, poor in goodness. And sometimes he calls himself Ki Chassid Ani. He's righteous and holy. He lived through these two worlds of righteousness, of holiness, and of darkness, of white and black. And during all those times of his life, no matter what he went through, he remained attached to the sky blue throne of Hashem's presence. Therefore, Yehuda is the Neufeich, the Karmel. 5. Sapir, sapphire. The clear, translucent sapphire is Yisachar. Sapir neged shevet Yisachar. Why ki sapir meira al chokhma tzlul umuvereres. The sapphire symbolizes, it means pure, clear, absolutely refined and unmistakable wisdom. It means a clarity of understanding. The translucent, the transparent, perfectly clear stone. And we see that in Chumash just 2 weeks ago. Kamashakosov Livnas HaSapir. You remember, it says, this is one of the deepest things in Chumash, in Tanakh. It says that when the Moshe Rabbeinu, another of an Avi, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Zakenim went up to Sinai, so it, Kivyachol, they saw the throne, and beneath the throne, there was the Livnas HaSapir. Beneath the throne of Hashem, there was the sapphire bricks. Sapphire bricks. Sapir. Sapphire. So this is Shevet Yisachar. Why is this Shevet Yisachar? B'Shevet Yisachar Nema Yodei Bina Le'itim. Yodei bina li'itim. Chazal tell, I mean, it says in the Novi, Chazal tell us that Shevet Yisachar, you're listening, the Shevet Yisachar were the masters of the mystery. They knew the mystery of the astronomical calculations of declaring a leap year, or declaring it whether it was a Mu'uba or not a Mu'uberis, whether it was whether the month was full, the month was not full, whether the year would have an extra month or not, which are the deepest teachings, the Sod Ha'ibur, the mystery of the Ibur, of calculating the months, of calculating time. So Yeshevet Sarchar are called in Tanakh Yodei Bina Le'itim. They knew the wisdom. They had the understanding of the Itim, of the times. They understood the times. Yodei Bina Le'itim. So Yodim La'abe Shodim V'Lekvoa Chadoshim. They knew how to declare a leap year and to establish the months. V'Zehayirak V'Chachim V'Vereres Me'es Hashem. Only a person who has absolute clear and refined translucent wisdom and knowledge from Hashem has the ability to do this.
Only what?
Only a person who has completely clear wisdom and knowledge, clear understanding, has the ability to understand this, to know this wisdom, this Chokhmah. When it says in the Gemara, when the Gemara is explaining the wisdom of the Jewish people, that we're an Am Chacham V'Navon, a wise people, so Chazal say that the wisdom of the Jewish people is most revealed with our ability to understand time, to calculate the months. He says, Chokhmah Muvres Me'es Hashem, Ki Cholku Hashah L'Tav Resh Pei Chalokim. Because you know that the hour is divided, how this works out is not to discuss right now, but that the hour is divided into 1,080 parts. The gematria dalad pa'am Elokim, which is the gematria of Elokim four times. The reason that the Rebbe brings that here is to tell us that to know the distinction between 1 second and to understand the hours, to understand time, means that to understand that in the 1,080 seconds, the 1,080 parts of an hour, Hashem relates to this world in a different way. Every single part of the hour, every single second and moment of the day. And Yisachar, the Yodei Bina, who know that. In other words, what does it mean, Yodei Bina? Bina means Lahavin Dov Mitov Dov. The Chachma, the wisdom, the Bina. The Bina of Shevet Yisachar is the ability to distinguish between one thing and the other. Because that's what's required for this calculation. So the Rebbe is saying that Yisachar has the Bina to know the difference between 1 second out of the 1,080 seconds or parts of that hour. For that you need clear wisdom. Because if you don't have clear wisdom, seconds and hours and days and years get mixed together and blend in one with the other. But to see Hashem's way with the world in such a clear way, with such clarity, that you know what's happening in this part, what's happening in the next part, that's clarity. That's Yodei Bina. That's Yisachar. That's Shevet Yisachar. The clarity. Therefore, Yisachar is the sapir, which is the translucent sapphire of clarity and of understanding. That's the sapir. Therefore, the word sapir is connected to the word sipur, which means to tell a story, to be able to tell something over. When it's clear, when you understand it, you can tell it over. That's the sapir. Next, the Yahalom. The Yahalom is this beryl stone that's bluish green. Neged Shevet Zvulun. Shevet Zvulun. Neged Shevet Zvulun. You understand that Zvulun was the tribe that was. Where do they used to spend their time? Where was Zvulun? What does it say in the Tanakh? What's the what in the brachas of Zvulun? Where was Zvulun? Zvulun was l'chayf yomim. Zvulun was sailing upon the ocean, blue, right? Merchants that were upon the ocean. So that's the bluish green color of the ocean, right? So Zvulun is Yahalom. They can say Zvulun ki Yahalom him Isis Yud Hey and Halom. Now what does it mean? Yud Kei. Yud Kei we already spoke about. Yud Kei means concealment. Yud Kei means that which is deep and concealed. The first two letters of Hashem's name. Yahalom has hinted in it a Yud Kei in the word Halom. Now Halom means
hidden.
Halom, no, just the opposite. Halom says Gash Halom. Gash Halom means over here. Halom means come here. This place right here. Halom means something that is in front of you. Something that's in front of you. That's what it means, Halom. Something that you can see in front of you is called Halom. So Zvulun are the ones who are sailing upon the seas of God's wisdom, of the Yam Hat, the ocean of Talmud, the ocean of Gemara. But deeper than that, everybody knows that it's the job of Zvulun to support Yisachar in learning, and that Zvulun are going to go all over the world and bring back all kinds of things that they find in the bottoms of the... It says in the brachas, in Vayichi, and it's also bracha, that Zvulun will go out to the Chof Yom, and Zvulun is going to detect there in the oceans and bring back wonderful, precious things from the oceans. Treasures from the oceans.
Is it sailing on the works?
Sunei Tmunei Chol. Sunei Tmunei Chol, things that are hidden in the dust and the dirt, Zvulun brings back from his travels upon the blue-green seas of the world. That's what it says in the Chumash. That's the bracha. So what does that mean? So Yahalom, Yud Kei, Halom is here. So the Rebbe says, Ki hu botech v'Hashem is brach ito b'chol en yonim shehu, v'avshen nirim shehim en yoni olam hazeh. The world, Zvulun means that even in the place of olam hazeh, Sham tumim sunei chol, which means that even in the bottom of the ocean, even in the everywhere in the world, because Zvulun is traveling all over the world, mamish all over the world, even in that place, at the bottom of the depths of the world of existence, Zvulun is able to sense a closeness to Hashem, to feel Hashem's presence in that place, in that thing, even in all the physical things. Therefore, Zvulun is the one that travels upon the oceans of the world, and everywhere Zvulun goes, brings back precious gifts to the king, for the king, from the king, and tells the whole world. Therefore, Zvulun's name means Yud Hey, that's the depth of Hashem. Halom is right here. Here, right here in your life. At work, with what you're doing right now, in your life, right here, Yud Kei, the Halom is here. Kedisa b'gemar, Zvulun also b'prakmatia, that Zvulun, there would have been a Zvulun, were merchants. Gam ozu dovig b'Hashem esbar, even at work, even counting the money. You know, they say there's a story from the Tanya. There are different versions of the story. The one that I heard was that the Baal HaTanya had a certain chassid that was enormously wealthy. He was in the lumber business. And I once told this to you. He was in the lumber business. And this Yid, this Jew, was standing with a paper, with a ledger, with all of the cheshbonos of that month. You know, all the figures of that month. $80, different sales. A whole cheshbon. And this chos of the Baal HaTanya, he added up all the numbers, and at the bottom, when it says sach hakol, sum total, so he wrote down ein od milvado. The sum total is that there's nothing besides God. And that didn't mean that this Jew was not taking the money and putting it into the bank. For sure he took the money and put it into the bank, and for sure he knew the value of money. But to put it at the sum total of all of his physical existence, at the sum total of all physical things, to be able to say, Ein Od Milvado, that there really is nothing besides Hashem. All that counts, all that exists is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the world of Zvulun. Seven. Ratur HaShlishi. Lashem. The first stone in the third row was Leshem, Jacinth, which is done. Bright orange, bright reddish orange. Leshem hu neged shevet done. כי בזה השבט נמצא תקופס וניצור גודל. In the tribe of Dan, there's the enormous, there's enormous strength, power, and desire to succeed, to be victorious. Immense power of victory, of carrying something out in an almost violent way.
Power of victory.
The most famous of the tribe of Dan, of course, is Shimshon. I think it's not even necessary to explain. If you know who Shimshon was, so the world of Shimshon, the world of Dan, Kifus, tremendous energy, tremendous desire to overtake our enemies. Benitzuach nimtza lefamim shiira la'ayin anashi kekaz. When a person is driven by his sense of nitzuach, if there's a person who must be victorious, the one who must win, who must be victorious, sometimes that person appears to us to be filled with ka'as. What's ka'as?
Anger,
a temper. Yeah. I mean, if a person is not a regular person and he has this teva of done, to be menatzeach, to always be victorious, it comes out in anger, right? He tries with you, and the victory that he has over you in this discussion will take place through reasoning. But then you have the person of great tekifus, of power, of nitzuach, that's driven to be victorious. And that's not in a holy way. It comes out of a very temperamental, but it could be one of the ugliest things in the world. So the Shevet Dan, who's filled with this ability, who's filled with this drive of being victorious. So Shevet Dan on the surface might sometimes appear to be filled with anger. When you look at Shimshon, he was mamish, a pachat to be near him, right? Ripping off the gates of the city, taking the jawbone and wiping out 1,000 people, turning over temples. I mean, you know, he seemed to have a temper. He seemed to have a temper. Right, Shimshon? He seemed to have a temper. So we understand, again, so we understand that Don will sometimes look to us that way. And the people of Don could fall into terrible things, and they have in history. There were problems with Shevet Don because they're driven with this need, suach, with this need to be victorious. Shimshon and the holiness of Don is to be victorious for Hashem. The Don Natsach, to be God's warrior. That's a wonderful thing. If it's not used properly, it can come out, God forbid, you know, an argumentative person. As you'll see in a second, he brings down the Rebbe. Look at this. Looks like anger. That's why the name of the stone, this bright red orange, which means anger, right? Bright red orange. But the name is Leshem. Lesha means l'shem. What does that mean? L'shem Shemaim, for the sake of God. It looks like it's not, but Leshem is l'shem Shemaim. It's for God's sake. The anger, the power, the nitzuach, the victory, is for God's sake. Lesha. L'shem Hashem. V'chein gam achelik barit shenofel begarol le'mayr al zesh nemav ulam la'yishem ho'il rishaynam. This is an amazing thing. We see in the book of Shoftim and Yeshua, in the books of Shoftim and Yeshua, that there was a city in the portion of Dan that was called Laish. Laish means a lion, a powerful lion. And that name of that, the name of that city, Laish, was later changed to the word, to the name Leshem. Listen to this. Laish is a powerful lion. The lion is a very strong, victorious animal, the king of the beasts, right? Later on, the name of the city was changed to Leshem to tell us what? That even though it looks to you in the beginning that he's a liar, that he's a lion that just strikes out and destroys to be victorious, but Hashem has revealed that really the tribe of Dan is what? Leshem is Leshem Hashem, Leshem Shemaim. Therefore, you find that in the Torah, the bracha of Shevet Dan, at the end of the Chumash, it says, Dan Gur Aryeh. Dan is called a lion, a young lion, a lion cub. He's a Deikman Haboshan, which means a young lion club that is leaping forth, jumping forth, the bright red orange of Kaz, of Nitzuach, of victory, that is transformed with the study of Torah in Leshem, in Leshem Shemaim. So the city of Laish, of the young lion, of the lion, the powerful, leaping, attacking lion, is uplifted and fixed and repaired in the world of Leshem, of the Leshem, Leshem Hashem. The lion is not afraid of anybody, of any other animal. Once that place became the territory of Dan, Nikra L'Hashem, the next page, Chavtes. Nikra L'Hashem, it received the name L'Hashem. Shemayrish Akolta Gufosu Machmashu Batuach Ba'Hashem Isberg. Yazra Yank Yoharlech B'Taim. Really, L'Hashem is L'Shem, which means that all of the anger, all the kufis, it means that Shimshon and Shevadon has the power to move ahead and to be victorious, knowing that I am driven by something deep inside of me that is L'Shem Hashem, even though it looks to the whole world like I have a big temper and I'm just a violent person. I know and I believe that inside of me I'm driven by the deeper force of the L'Shem, of the L'Shem Hashem. K'mavur b'gemara. The Omer, it says in the Gemara, Darin dini yishtakach. Dimidon kasi. Says in the Gemara that if you see somebody that's always taking people to judgment, because the name Don means to judge, Din. So if you see somebody that's always dragging people to Bezdin, like you're talking to the guy in the marketplace, and you have a little bit of discussion, he says, okay, you have to come to me to Bezdin, you did this to me, right? If you see somebody that's always schlepping people to Bezdin, it's a simon that this person is from where? The Gemara says from Don. Ki haya bot kufas she botach betach yisk she yiske bedin. That's an unbelievable thing he says. Shimshon was doing all kinds of strange things, right? He marries a non-Jewish person, he's ripping down the cities, he's doing things that it didn't even make sense. Why does he have to show such strength? Why does he have to show all this strength? Why? And yet he goes ahead and does, and he's not afraid of what people say, because he's batuach, he's sure that inside of him he's driven by L'Shem Hashem, by the L'Shem. So he says that's why the nature of it is to take people to Bezdin. It's like saying, we would nowadays say, you, when someone's sure, you want to bet? You want to bet, right? It means when you're absolutely sure you want to bet. So it says that Sheva Dun used to take people to Bezdin. I was never afraid that he's going to lose. Taking people to Bezdin means I know that in judgment I'm going to be declared innocent because I know that I'm L'Shem Hashem. It doesn't look to you. Let's go to Bezdin. Let's go to Bezdin. Let the Bezdin show that I'm right. You understand? Dun is taking people to Bezdin because Dun says I am right. It doesn't look to you. Good. Let's go to Bezdin, and you'll see that it'll be proven by Bezdin that I'm right. It'll be proven that I'm right. That's what the Gemara means. Kaya bot kufa ze shef betach she yizke bedin ki bechol inyon yelam hazeh vafilo mitzvah ma'isem toivin she ha'odam oisu ha'chakich besof veke goyim ki she'odam leitzin tzedok ilo ani v'oni yelich v'koach hazeh v'yaseh mitzvah nikra misayeh yidei oisem mitzvah v'ma'oni yaseh v'eir v'chas v'shom v'zeh ha'koyach hazeh han oisem misayeh yidei oisem v'eir. In other words, when you give money to the stock of the Rebbe, saying, you never really, you're not 100% certain, you don't have absolute certainty and trust that even when you do a mitzvah, it's going to work out right. For instance, he says, when you give tzedakah to a poor person, so you give tzedakah, you're not absolutely sure the poor person is going to use the tzedakah in the right way. What happens if the poor person goes to Atlantic City, uses the money you gave him to bet on something? What if he used it to go buy a piece of treif? What if he used it for something improper, inappropriate, right? So you thought you're doing a mitzvah, you do a mitzvah, and afterwards you're wondering, what's going to be with my mitzvah? You don't have that certainty. Sheva Dan is not like that. Sheva Dan is absolute certainty that whatever he does, even though in the beginning it might look strange, it'll end up in the world of holiness. Somehow it'll find its place in holiness. Because I did this mitzvah in absolute sincerity. Why would Hashem bring me a failure? Why would something bad come out of this if I did it for the sake of Shemaim Leshem, L'Shem Hashem? So he says, certainly this poor person has come to me, he must be a legitimate poor person that's worthy of receiving money. And he goes with certainty and needs suach and victory and strength to do the mitzvah. Therefore, Shevet Don is the Leshem. 8. Shro, the stone of the tribe of Naphtali. This is a grayish color. It's A-G-A-T-E. That's the stone, Shvo. Hu neged Shevet Naphtali. Ki Shvo hu miloshen shev shav haynu af beisho helik lasik biskele mazeh. Naphtali were also very, very busy busily involved in things of this world. Naphtali was running around in things of this world. In other words, Naphtali, in the bracha, Naphtali is called, in the bracha of Yaakov, Naphtali is called an Ayola Shalucha. Everybody knows that Naphtali was the fastest of all the tribes, right? He was the one that was running to, like a deer. Ayola Shalucha, the fastest of the Shvatim. So when you look at Naphtali, Naphtali looks to you like he's always running around. Naphtali's always running. Ayola Shalucha. Mamish, always running around. Right? Always moving. That's what Yaakov says. Naphtali, Ayola Shalucha. Always moving. So Naphtali is very involved, is moving in this world, doing different things, very much involved in this world. Naphtali is Nayola Shluch in this world. So it's interesting, though. Shvo, the name of the stone, comes from the word Lashavis, which means sitting. Relaxed. Ki shvo miloshon shav. Haynu afech olech lasik b'eskei olam hazeh v'nir la'ein ba'aser v'dam ki chashashom ein liba l'ashem. It looks to you like he's not thinking for a second. Looks to you like he's running around like a meshugana from place to place. Ayol ha'shlucha. That's what it looks to you. Says chashashom ein liba l'ashem. You might think that his heart is not connected in a peaceful, steady, and serene way to Hashem. Gam azu meshiv liba v'tzayfa l'ashem truthfully. Even then, his heart is turned to Hashem in a very peaceful and quiet way. And all that he's running around is covering. That's why it says, Naphtali Ayola Shlucha, Ano Sein Imre Shefer. It says that he has beautiful sayings. He gives beautiful sayings of Torah. It's like the person who's running around in business, and while he's running around in business, he says, you know, I heard a word from the Baal Shem Tov, you know. It looks to you like you're still running around in, you know, deals and deals and deals. But it's like, Ano Sein Imre Shefer, listen, he's inside of himself, he's mamish at peace. Inside of himself, he's mamish at peace. You have sometimes a person who sits quietly, and inside himself he's torn into a million pieces. Naphtali looks like he's torn in a million ways, and he's mamish, nois and imre shefer. He's totally, totally peaceful. That's why in the bracha of Naphtali, at the end of the Torah, by Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha, the bracha is Naphtali svar ratzon. That means Naphtali is filled with ratzon, is satisfied, filled with satisfaction. It looks just the opposite. Because Naphtali is running around from place to place, and the Torah says he's filled with satisfaction. Naphtali svar ratzon. The one who's running from place to place looks like he's not satisfied with anything, right? No. Naphtali svar ratzon. He's svar ratzon. He's filled with satisfaction. Umolei birkas Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu said, filled with the blessing of Hashem.
When they say, like, when he's given the bracha of, like, putting on, it's not something like in terms of superhuman abilities, or something else.
It's a description of the essence of who the person is, and therefore the qualities that person has. So the Torah is saying to Yaakov Avinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Naphtali, you have the power to move swiftly through this world, and to be within yourself at peace, and oneness with Hashem. The Gom Sham. Hanasi Shalom Mayral Shame. I'm sorry, Gam Shame Hanasi Shalom Mayral Zekishmahi Achira ben Einan. Now here, the Rebbe just introduces only one time one of the names of the princes. The truth is that if you go through each of the tribes, and you go each name of the prince that was at that time was in the Torah, each tribe had a Nasi, right? Each of the tribes had a prince. Right? And if you go through the Nisim, so if you connect, you'll be able to connect each of the names of the Nisim with the stone and with the tribe. The Rebbe just doesn't do that. Over here, he just mentions in passing that the name of the Nasi, the leader of the tribe of Naphtali, was Achira ben Einan. Hayin shaholech tamid derech achorayim. The word achor, Achira means going backwards, in the backwards places, in the places that are in the back. Shal yifna oref. Ben Einan. Hainu she'enav heima tamid l'Hashem Yisbarach. Even though he's walking backwards, he's this way, he's looking there. But achira, he's achor, ben einan. But his eyes are always looking forward. Einan is the word einan. Even though you can't see with the back of your head. So Naphtali looks like he's running from place to place, and he's like not connected to all of this. Ben einan, he's the one that sees. It's just you can't tell. 9. Nine, achlama, amethyst, violet and purple, this is Shevet God. V'achlomo hu l'shevet God. Hainu kibbutz et kufis God l'eish yeh nitzruch l'kabbetz l'chanis yisrael yachad. The power of God is to bring Jews together for the purpose of fighting a war. That's what it says in the Torah. God gedud yigudenu. God gedud yigudenu v'hu yagud akev. God gedud yigudenu, that God has the power to recruit all the soldiers and regiments. And God will bring together all the soldiers, God gedud yigudenu, which means la'aged, to join together. An aguda. Right? The aluv, the arba minim need to have a din of aguda, that have to be held together. So God gedud yigudenu, God has the power to bring together all the regiments, all the soldiers, to one, to bring them together, and to return safely upon his heel, to go back to war after the war, to return safely. God gedud yigudenu. That's in the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. In the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's baruch marachiv God. God is the power of expansiveness. Remember that God's territory was outside the borders of Israel, right? Me'ether Hayarden, on the other side of the Jordan. God is the power of joining together and moving forth, expanding. God gedud yigudenu, and by Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha, baruch marchiv God. The expansiveness, pushing forward. So the Rebbe says, that's achlama. That's the achlama. Come on, Shekhosu Vassal, God gedud yigudenu, v'hu yagud akev. Now, what does that have to do particularly with a stone? What's the meaning of achlama? The Rebbe doesn't say. The stam is exactly what I wanted to say. That achlama is the word milchama. Achlama means I will. It has an etymology. I will bring to war. I will join together for the purpose of battle. I will join all together. It's the word of milchama. Milchama. And the expansiveness you have in the word achlom, the word chalom, which means what? A dream. So chalom, the dream, a dream means expansiveness, right? Reality means you're stuck in a certain small place. That's reality. This is what I have. The person who dreams is a person of vision who goes beyond the constriction, the small, narrow world of his life that's right now. That's a chalom, right? A cholem. So the name of God is achlom. Going to war, going, extending oneself. Going beyond oneself, therefore you have the word chalom, milchama, a dream. To dream means to have visions of something beyond this reality that I'm stuck in. That's baruch marachiv God, the expansiveness of God. Broadening one's horizons, moving forward, vision, being a visionary, being a dreamer. That's the name of God. Therefore the name God also means mazel, but God means mazel, God means mazel. So it's all the same thing. 10. Baturavi, the final row. Tarshish. The first stone in the final row is Tarshish, chrysolite, which is olive, the color of a stone that is the color of pure olive oil. This is the stone of Shevet Asher. You don't have to figure this out too much. The brach of Asher is what? Olive oil, right? No. Asher is oil. Oil is Asher. So it says Tarshish who neged shevet Asher, ki Asher who inyan harchove v'espashtus, v'gam Tarshish moirel espashtus, k'ma shekosuv giviyoso ki Tarshish. V'gam l'shevet hazeh haya harchove, k'ma shekosuv mi Asher shmeina lachmo. The bracha of mi Asher shmeina lachmo is that the bread of Asher is very oily. It's filled with olive oil. Oil. Now, oil means a number of things. The Rebbe says over here, this is connected to God, that oil means also expansiveness. Oil also means hispashtus. That's the nature of oil. Oil also means the ability, because it's the way it spreads out. Oil also means, as you know, I mean, oil because it's a little bit and it lasts for a long time. Right? It's the meaning of Hanukkah oil. It's obviously very much connected to Hanukkah, this whole thing. Oil also means the ability to go ahead with the future, but and to go forward into the world and yet to remain distinct and separate, because everybody knows that oil does not mix. So oil is an amazing thing. Most people, when they try to go forward and move ahead and to expand, they end up getting mixed in with the wrong crowds, right? You get in with the wrong cover because you're trying to move forward. You're trying to go out of yourself. What happens when you're trying to move forward is that you often will end up in, you'll often end up in the wrong cover. You'll end up in the wrong way. Usher is the ability to move forward, to expand, and to, like oil, but to remain like oil that doesn't mix with anything else. Sefer. Olive oil. Oil also means chachma. It says in the Gemara, if you see oil in a dream, it means chachma, tetzapala chachma. It means wisdom, understanding. That a person, even though the person is expanding and moving forward, nevertheless, he remains separate and distinct. For Usher, there's me Usher shmeina lachma. Distinct means you remain yourself. You don't lose yourself just because you're going out into the world. You remain yourself, like the oil. The Jewish people are compared to this, of course. You know that we like all the, we don't mix with the other nations, right? Am levadad yishkon. We remain to ourselves, even though the Jewish people, in many ways, if you know, are the most productive, creative people that have ever lived. And we went into the whole world, mamish, to build up civilization. Afal pichin, the Jewish people have the power. Not everybody succeeds. Of Asher, which is to remain separate and to yourself and to be distinct while you're out there in the world, to remain separate and to remain distinct. So that's Tarshish. Tarshish bechlal, Tarshish means, well, the color of the stone is olive oil, so that's the color. And Tarshish, the Rebbe says, means hispashtus, kviyoso kit Tarshish, it means wideness, bigness, Tarshish. 11, Shoham. Shoham is onyx. This is amazing. This is almost amazing. We're not going to have enough time to really explain how this goes with Yosef HaTzadik.
Sure.
The Shoham is dark black, jet black. The onyx stone is Yosef HaTzadik. Shoham hu neged shevet Yosef, Shoham hu ahava. Shoham, he says, now you have the name Moshe hinted in the Shoham also, as you see, right? Yeah. Shoham is Neged Shevet Yosef, which is Ahava, love. Now Yosef, as you know, was had amazing capacity to love. Yosef HaTzadik, the name means Lahosif, to add. I mean, the way of Yosef is the way of Ahava. So he says, for Ahava commission is Boyer al pi shem Shom HaBedolach. You know, you have to be so careful with every word here. What the Rebbe is talking about, let me just tell you, to fill you in how Yosef comes to this blackness. Because it's hard to imagine, because Yosef, of course, was the most beautiful, right? What? He was in a black place. So Yosef, of course, is the most beautiful. And he's the black stone, the onyx. So the Rebbe refers here to a pasuk at the beginning of the Chumash. You remember that there were the rivers of Gan Eden, right? That they divided the four rivers, right? The four rivers that went into the Garden of Eden and gave water, says in the beginning of Bereishis, that were watering the garden. The four rivers. So it says over there, when it's describing, when it says, V'nahar yotze mi'eden lahashkas esagon, u'misham yiparet la'avaroshim. So it says that the river, it says in Bereishis that the river would go out, and it watered, and divided the four parts and watered the garden. So it says, V'zahav ha'ar, I wrote for myself on the side there, V'zahav ha'aretz ahi tov. The gold of that land is especially good. You see my handwriting? I don't know if you can read. The gold of that land is especially good. Where that river was flowing is especially good. And it says, Shom ha'bedolach ve'even ha'shoham. Also found there in that good land are pearls and precious stones. Pearls and precious stones. So the bedolach means precious stones, and it's shoham, which means, the bedolach are pearls, and shoham are precious stones. So it says at the beginning of Bereishis that the shoham was connected to the bedolach, this amazing place that was being watered, this land that was especially good, that was golden, and there were pearls there and precious stones. The shoham are called precious stones. Now, that's what he's hinting at. Pishem habedolach, shom habedolach, pearls, precious stones. The Rebbe says is a hint for ahava, for love. V'gamal Yosef haya hava azal Hashem Yisbarach. Yosef was filled with a very, very deep love for Hashem. Ad ki haya benakil olazav kol chemdus alam hazeh machmas ahavet Hashem Yisbarach. But he was able, as the children of Rachel, he was able, like the other children of Rachel, to turn completely away from this world because of his love for Hashem. Ki machmas yira lo haya yochel lamad ba'atzmai Now he says like this, everybody knows that the greatest test of Yosef's life when he became Yosef at Tzadik was when he was in the house of Potiphar and the wife of Potiphar was tempting him with improper love, right? With a love for a human being, for the most beautiful woman, a love that was not appropriate, a love from unholiness, a love that was disgusting, right? She was trying to draw him into that love that was inappropriate, that was improper. And the Rebbe says that at that moment, if you are completely, completely confronted in the strongest way with the love of something of this world, a normal human being would not have been able to overcome that. It's only because he has the love of Hashem, and Hashem showed him the vision of his father. You remember? That's how he was able to get out of that, not to fall. He saw a vision of his father, Yaakov. And it says in Chazal that Yaakov showed him the stones, all these stones that we're learning today. Hashem showed that Yaakov in the vision. Yaakov told his son, you see the stones on all the breastplates and you want to have your stone missing? Don't do this. If you want to have your stone there, don't do this. That's what it says in the Gemara. Rashi doesn't bring the whole thing. Rashi says that he saw when he was about, you know, he was being drawn because he was a person that had great potential of love, great capacity to love. So he's being drawn to the wife of Potiphar, which means the love of this world. All the attractive, exciting things of this world. Yosef was very much drawn to that because he's a person of great love. At that moment, no human being could have made it. Except Hashem showed him a vision of Yaakov telling him, hold on to the stone. Hold on to the stone, to the Shoham? To the Shoham. Also has the letters Hashem. The Shoham. Sheher lo d'muz d'yuk n'shalov v'v'chia yeshmo nechak al avni ha'efot. And his father showed him, listen, that's what means Shoham, means showed him. Right? Showed him. So Hashem showed him to his father Yaakov, you have tremendous, tremendous ability to love. That's why this woman is pulling you in such a strong way. Don't go to her. Turn to Hashem. Turn to the Shoham, Hashem. And if you want to have that stone that is waiting for you, don't fall. Don't fall.
So that's why it's black.
So why is it black? What's the blackness of the Shoham? It says, you have an idea? What's the blackness? I mean, you mentioned it in Mitzrayim. In black places, he's still able to feel love. Yeah, he's able to turn his love to holiness. In other words, he could fall into the blackest thing, but he doesn't. Because love is a very dangerous thing. To have such a capacity to love and ability to love, he could mamash fall into the worst places. So he's able to climb out of that. Stama, that's what it means. Shchayra aniva nav, it says in Shir Hashirim, I am black, but I am beautiful. And Chazal tell us that the meaning of that is not like the idiots of this world use it. The meaning of that is that although I have within me the potential of terrible blackness, shchayra ani, but still v'nava, I am still beautiful. And Chazal tell us that the Jewish people said that to Hashem, Shchayra ani b'maisa ha'egel. I am dark with the worship of the eagle. V'navani, but I am so beautiful with the building of the Mishkan, you know? It's like, in other words, we have in us that certain darkness that comes because we have this potential, this capacity to love. But v'nava, the capacity to love, is if it's taken from darkness, was taken from darkness and brought into holiness, so that comes out Yosef at Tzadik. That's what Yosef at Tzadik was. 12, the last shavuot is Binyamin. It's good timing. Binyamin. Yoshve, jasper. Also, all the colors. The Yoshve, who's the shavuot Binyamin. Hainu sheyesh lo peh. The word Yoshve Jasper means Yesh Peh. Chazal say that. He has a mouth. Yesh Peh. He has a wonderful mouth. And the meaning of that is Yesh Pshayesh Lo Peh Liv Lo Lo Kabel Kol HaTayvis Anim Soim Barilam. He has the mouth to swallow to receive all of the good things of this world. Commercial cost of vessels is written by Binyamin Zev Yitrov. Binyamin is like a wolf that traps and that captures to eat its prey. Vafatoivis nimsoim ben humus. Yesh lokoch lilkoit ulukabel. Binyamin has the power to go among the nations and to bite off and swallow all, even the little good, the good things that are there among the nations. That, of course, is connected to, that's connected to Purim, to Mordechai HaYehudi, Ish Yemini, the man of Binyamin. That's connected to Binyamin, that's connected to Mordechai and Esther, and Purim, that in the darkness of Shushan HaBira, among the nations of the world, to bring out from that mamish, to destroy a Moloch, to bring out a Purim from, to like a zev, like a wolf, to swallow the goodness that was hidden in Shushan, to be able to pull out from the world and to bring into the mouth of holiness, to the mouth of the Jewish people, wonderful things that was stuck and hidden and trapped among the nations. Shaul HaMelech. That's in your Shaul. Shaul HaMelech is connected to that too, but Shaul is from Binyamin. Shaul is from Binyamin. Yesh Peh also means to have a mouth and not to speak. To have a mouth and to be quiet, not to know when to hold back, know when not to speak. But Yoshveh is the, it hasn't, that's why it also is a stone that had all different colors. All different colors. To go anywhere in the world, among all the nations, and to swallow, to eat, to devour the holiness that's amongst the nations. That's the way of Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrov. That's Mordechai and Esther and Shushan, that's Purim. That's Purim is v'nahapaychu, that everything by Purim was reversed. Everything by Purim was reversed. It looked like our enemies were swallowing us and we swallowed them. The tree was prepared to hang Mordechai and Haman was hanged on the tree. Right? He was hanged on the tree. That thing of Binyamin, yeah?
What happened to the fire where Yosef's children?
So we have to connect Ephraim and Menashe to this too. I don't have time right now. You're right, Ephraim and Menashe definitely fit into this whole thing. Ephraim and Menashe fit into the whole thing with Yosef HaTzadik. But these are the colors of Binyamin, which means all the colors. All the colors. To be able to swallow holiness, to be able to swallow enemies. So you know what this all means? This all means that every single one of us have all these karkas in us. It's hard to believe. If you look and try to think, I can't find one stone. Not one stone. I mean, if I think of myself, I'm a rock. I mean, like, you know, a rock, my head, my heart, yeah. But that every Jew is filled with precious gems, like Rabbi Nachum's story of the Prince of Gems that everybody should read. Everybody should know the story, Rabbi Nachum's story of the precious gems, the Gevaldig story about the one who on the surface he was leprous and his skin was all disgusting and covered with horrible leprosy and his sister tried to kill him and then the skin came off and then beneath the skin there were precious gems. So every Jew has to know that beneath the skin, beneath the surface and beneath the ugliness, that's what this whole Torah is about. Is the name of the Jew on second, the name of Klai Yisrael, which is Mamish, beneath the leprous surface, every Jew is Mamish shining, is a prince of gems, a shining with the gems of the 12 Shvatim. No. Yes, it means in Ruchnius, right? That every Jew is called a prince of gems. No? Well, I'm digging. Get ready for Shabbos a little bit.
I found Dan. It's much like me.
Dan is a Korach of Kedusha. Huh? Na hashayno matcha kaino manaim garlayno ayayay. Na hashayno matcha kaino manaim garlayno. Hi, nai 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 nai. Hi, ma 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 ma. I'm gonna Yeah.